بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 3rd of August in the year 2020 alhamdulillah the rituals of the blessed pilgrimage finished today so we ask almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept those blessed souls who had the opportunity to perform the pilgrimage this year and also to forgive us for their honorable sake. Amen. And we moved on to the sixth night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of our beloved mother, Sayyida Safiya radiyallahu anha. So just to summarize thus far, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he signed the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. When he signs the treaty, he now can deal with the Jews of Khaybar because they always were causing mischief. He heads towards them and their fortresses start falling one by one. The first fortress to fall was Na'im. A companion called Mahmud ibn Maslama was martyred there. Somebody dropped a boulder on his blessed head. The next fort was Al-Qamus. Al-Qamus belonged to Kinana ibn Abu Hukayk, Safiya's husband. So that was the second fortress. We reached that point. It was a fierce encounter. The Jews defended their fortress bravely and until the last breath. But the fortress fell to the hands of the Muslims and a large number of the Jews were killed and the women and children were taken captive. Amongst them was Sayyida Safiya radiyallahu anha, whose father had perpetrated such heinous crimes against Islam. So this is how she fell as a captive, when the fort of her husband fell. So adding details. In Bayhaqi and Ibn Kathir Seerah, volume 3, page 270 of the English translation, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu, he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam battled against the people of Khaybar until he forced them to take refuge in their fortress. He gained control of their land, their produce and their date palms. Seeing the hopelessness of their position, they then made peace with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what's happened? Like I mentioned, they wouldn't go out to fight. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was going from one fortress to another and all the land on the outside, he was just taking. Date palms, agriculture. So obviously when all that was being taken, how long could you last? So the Jews, they decided to make peace with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The condition of peace was that they would leave their fortress keeping only what their mounts would carry. However, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go all their gold and silver, which they would not hide or fail to disclose anything. If they did so, they would have no valid pact of agreement. So what was the peace treaty? Just like you noticed, the Banu Nadir. Basically, we'll take what we want, what we can carry, what our camels can carry, our mules. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the gold and silver you can't take. In other words, that remains. And you also must not hide anything. If you do, then you have no safety. So what happened? The report continues. Subhanallah. Foolishly, they concealed a leather bag containing money and jewels belonging to Safiya's father, Huyay ibn Akhtab. He had carried it with him to Khaybar when Banu al-Nadir were expelled. So what's happened? So the Prophet ﷺ warned them, if you hide anything, then there's no peace. Your blood can be spilled. So they still tried to imagine. So there was basically a huge amount of wealth. Now, whose wealth was it? It was Safiya's father who'd been killed, Huyay ibn Akhtab. And They were basically keeping that hidden so they could take it with them. So what happened? Rasulullah thereupon asked, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what happened to the leather bag of Huyay that he brought from Al-Nadir? So think about that. Another sign of prophethood. How did the Prophet know that? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he's given them a chance. This is the mercy of the Prophet. Like, look, admit to it. So, you know, that matter will stop there. Kenana ibn Rabi ibn Abu Hukayk replied falsely. Various expenses and the warfare have exhausted it. So he had a chance again to say, oh no, yes, sorry, there is something that I should have mentioned. But he said, no, all these battles we've had and it's all gone. Rasulullah then responded, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wondering at their insatiable greed, thinking how could they hide it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gave them another chance. He said, only a little time has passed since that. There was certainly more wealth than this. In other words, retract your statement. Look at the mercy of Rasulullah. Their blood could have been spilled 3 occasions now. He goes, look, there has to be wealth left. So he still said no. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then handed Kenana over to Zubair radiyallahu, go deal with him because he's broken the pact. So he roughed him up. Now what's interesting about Zubair, he was used to for sensitive missions. Go and spy on the Banu Qurayza. In Sahih Bukhari and Muslim during the Battle of the Trench, what did the Prophet call him? The special disciple. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Bukhari and Muslim. Every Prophet has a special disciple. My special disciple is Zubair. He was Khadija's nephew as well. He was the cousin of Rasulullah and also Khadija's nephew. So he's actually closer to the Prophet in terms of, you know, double relationship. So what did he do? We haven't got details, but he just roughed him up. In other words, stop lying, you know, trying to get the information out of him. So the report continues. Before this, Huyay, the one who's been already dispatched to hell, Safiya's father, he had gone inside a ruin and he reported seeing Huyay circling it. So what happened? Somebody informed the Muslims that we saw Huyay and he was like dabbling about this ruined area. They then went and they searched that spot, which ultimately led to finding that wealth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then killed the two sons of Abu al-Hukayk, one of whom was the husband of Safiya, daughter of Huyay ibn al-Akhtar. He took their women sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and children captive and divided up their possessions, since they had now foolishly broken the agreement. These are very important matters. Because what did the Bani Israel say? He's got so much hatred. He just wants us to take prisoners and kill. So you have to go through it with that fine comb. Who's to blame here? He gave him another chance. He lied. Gave him another chance. He lied. So eventually what happened? You've broke the agreement. Your blood is now to be spilled. So that's how Safiya's husband was killed. Why is that important to highlight? Why? Because the kuffar, they all start saying, oh, he wanted to marry his wife. So you got rid of him. You know, we don't even think these things. But we need to know the truth before we start talking to these people. But there's other details. In a slightly different report, in Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Kathir, Sirah, volume 3, page 268 of the English translation, Ibn Ishaq said, rahmatullah alayh, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had Kenana ibn al-Rabi brought to him, who was in charge of Banu al-Nadir's treasury. So look at this detail. So where is he? Khaybar. Qamus is his fortress that has fallen. What was he in charge of? The entire wealth of Banu al-Nadir. His father-in-law's wealth. He was in charge of all that wealth. Meaning he was not lorded, he was somewhere else. The report continues. When asked about it, for it must have been brought to Khaybar after they were expelled from Banu Nadir, Kenana foolishly denied knowledge of it. I don't know. No idea. Then they were brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, And a Jew said, they weren't all the same. A Jew approached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, oh Abu Qasim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I saw Kinana circle around the treasure early every morning a certain place. So the Jew thought, I'm not getting my head caught for this beakuf, right? He goes, every morning he had a ritual and I'll tell you where that place is. Rasulullah then turned to Kinana sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, do you realize that I will take your life if we find it there? So he gave him another chance to say, look, Diemzo, yeah, I'm sorry. And guess what he foolishly said? Yes, if you find it there, then yeah, my blood can be spilt. This is the insatiable greed, imagine it, astaghfirullah. Who are they actually trying to hide from? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then ordered for that treasure to be dug up and some of it was brought out. He then asked Kinana about the whereabouts of the rest, but he refused to hand it over. So this is probably revelation now. So Rasulullah knows, he goes, look, this isn't all the wealth. So again, he's probably giving him another chance. He goes, inform me now where the other wealth is. He goes, sorry, don't know. Then Zubair, started roughing him up, but no success. He wouldn't divulge where the rest of the wealth was. Finally, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him and handed him over to Muhammad ibn Maslama radiyallahu anhu, who beheaded him in retaliation for the loss of his brother, Mahmud ibn Maslama, who had been martyred earlier during the campaign, during the fall of the first fortress, Naim. Look at the justice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who fell as a martyr in the first fortress, Mahmud ibn Maslama. So after this shaitan, basically, he's not giving it up. He thinks he can hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet's given him more than enough chances. Who is now going to send him to hell? Right? He goes, Muhammad. And he wasn't going to waste time. He goes, my brother's been martyred to this beakuf, right? Took his head off. No, there you go. So that was the end of the second husband. Now, what's interesting, if you look at these reports, you can see that their unbelief was a special type of unbelief. There's grades of unbelief, just like there's grades of iman. There's pure unbelief, like shaitan. Why do I say he's got pure unbelief? Because if I was to ask you, does he believe in the angels? He's seen the angels. No point asking, does he believe in the angels? Does he believe in Allah? He's talked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's pure kufr. Unbelievers, nah, it's kufr, but not at that level. I don't believe in God. Where is it? That's the classic atheist response. You know, why do children die? Right? They go on and on. The Bani Israel, their unbelief is like shaitans. They absolutely knew. It's like, basically, seeing and not seeing is the same to us now. And they're still doing it. But Rahmatul Alameen, only he would give them a chance, another chance, another chance. Anybody else would take his head off. And still trying it, still, maybe I'll still get away with it. SubhanAllah. So now we can finally move to the section. Our beloved mother, Safiya radiallahu anha's marriage to the greatest of creation. So all of that was to prepare you for the marriage now. Our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, looked at the prisoners and he saw Sayyida Safiya radiallahu anha amongst the prisoners. And he cast a compassionate look at her, for she had passed by the corpses of her people, but she had controlled her emotions. So what's happened? Many of them had been killed during battle and also due to treachery. So Safiya radiallahu anha, when she was being brought with the prisoners, she actually saw the dead family members, but she controlled her emotions. So what happened? In Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Kathir Seerah, volume 3, page 267 of the English translation, Ibn Ishaq, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquered Al-Qamus, the second fortress to fall at Khaybar after Naim, the fort of Banu Abu al-Hukik, brought to him was Sayyida Safiya, radiallahu, daughter of Huyay ibn al-Akhtab, and another woman. So there was two women. One was Safiya, another woman. Sayyidina Bilal, radiallahu, he brought them both. And he had gone past some of the Jews who had been killed. When the woman with Safiya, radiallahu, saw the dead, she started screaming, slapping her face, pouring dirt over her head. When Rasulullah heard the commotion and saw her, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, get that female shaitan away from me. But then he looked at Safiya, radiallahu, and she was calm. He then instructed Safiya to be brought. She was placed behind him and he threw his cloak over her. Thus the Muslims knew that he had chosen her for himself. Rasulullah then turned to Bilal. Have you lost your sense of compassion, O Bilal? By taking the two women past their dead male folk, what's the matter with you? And Bilal just, you know, humbly lowered his head. Why? Because Bilal, what was his faith? He was very merciful. But when it came to the unbelievers, he wouldn't spare. Remember his master, right? So what happened towards his master, well, so-called master, Umayyah ibn Khalaf? And he was torturing him, you know, the famous tortures of Bilal radiallahu. So what happened after the Battle of Badr? Umayyah was caught as a prisoner. Who took him as a prisoner? Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, one of the 10 Promised Paradise. Bilal saw him. He just completely wanted to kill him. He goes, I will not live if that shaitan lives. Even though he was with Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, and then he killed him. And the Prophet didn't say anything about it. He said, oh, Bilal, you know, he's a prisoner. Good riddance. Right? So here, you can see that trait again. You got these shaitans. Right? So you got the women, and obviously, they go, there you go. This is what happens when you defy Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger. It was deliberate on his part. But Rahmatullah Alameen told him off. He said, where was your compassion, Bilal? In other words, why are you doing that? So note, you shouldn't let your anger go overboard, as they say. But we can obviously excuse Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu. So now, what was her birth name? Can you remember? Safiya.
Bara.
Zainab. Zainab. MashaAllah. Her birth name was Zainab. Why or who changed it to Safiya? In Abu Dawood, number 2994 or 3-398, our beloved mother Sayyida Aisha, she said, radiallahu, Safiya was from As-Safi, which is taken by the Amir before the spoils are distributed. Safiya, radiallahu, was from As-Safi, i.e. that which is taken by the Amir before the spoils are distributed. So it's a term in Arabic. Safi means chosen. So one of the things that the Amir is, he can take something if he wishes. That's allowed to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the word Safi means chosen. So who chose Zainab? Rasulullah. Really? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what happened to her name? They became that. Safiya, the chosen one. Radiallahu. Hafiz Zurqani in Sharh al-Mawahib clarified, since after the conquest of Khaybar, she fell to the lot of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she was affectionately became known by the name Safiya. Refer to Imam Ahmad's Musnad 6-336, Hakim in his Mustadrak 4-28-29, Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabaqat 8-120. So her name changed to that. Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani also elucidated, rahmatullah alayh, in Fath al-Bari 7-480. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had chosen the daughter of Huyay ibn Akhtab for himself. And Huyay's daughter Zainab would thereupon be called Safiya. So all the scholars are saying the same thing. This is why she's called Safiya. So now apart from that, what was the other obvious wisdom you can think of why her name was changed? And the reason is this, other mothers of the believers called Zainab. It'll get a bit confusing. You got Zainab bin Jahsh, who was the mother of the believers, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You got Zainab bin Khuzaymah, radiallahu, who passed away in Al-Madinah. So obviously, another obvious wisdom is the name is changed. Otherwise, we mourning about our memory now. He goes, oh, I don't know how many mothers is all Zainabs, right? So Allah Ta'ala has changed the name to Safiya, radiallahu. And note, The Jews and Arabs, they got very similar names. You ask them, you know, what's your name? Because my name is Dawood. My name's Ibrahim. You don't say Abraham, right? David. That's, you know, the ones in New York, right? So why? Because they're sister languages. Zainab, you know, it's a Jewish name. Subhanallah. The prisoners of war amongst the Jews were then distributed amongst the blessed companions. However, when the companions realized that Rasulullah had fled, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and married Sayyida Safiya radiallahu anha, they felt ashamed to have in-laws of Rasulullah as their slaves. Thus, subhanallah, many were set free by their own free sweet will. Think about that, right? You would have loved to have them as slaves. Why? What the hell? I get so much enjoyment, you being my slave, obviously fulfill all the rights. But the love of the Prophet overrode them. Because how can we have a slave? Fuck, where are the mother of the believers? So look at how, you know, interesting. Their love for the Prophet was more than their hatred for the Bani Israel. Think about that. Can we say the same? Their love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more. Allahu Akbar. Many of the Jewish prisoners finally, upon seeing this magnanimity of the Muslims, embraced Islam. Think about that. All these things, nothing's happening. Only when the Sahaba freed them. This is shameful. Right? And then, not all of them, some of them became Muslims, mashallah. And that finally softened their hearts. Just like in the conquest of Makkah. What happened? Didn't the Sahaba see Rasulullah? They grew up with him. Abu Sufyan, didn't he grow up with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? They saw miracles in his youth. Saw miracles when he proclaimed. Miracles after miracles, not embracing Islam. When did he embrace Islam? When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said at Makkah, what am I going to do with you? So there goes, you're the honorable one, son of the honorable one. Meaning whatever you do is honorable. Because I will say to you, what Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said to his brothers, no reproach on you this day, go, you are all free. And that broke their hearts. They all, most of them embraced Islam. Think about that. That's telling you the importance of that characteristic. If somebody goes to you, how can you get through a black heart? Forgive. And somebody goes to you, hey, well, what's that? I don't get it, brother. Because that is more powerful than even miracles. Think about it. They killed his family. They killed his companions. They took his dwelling. They threw him out of the city he loved the most. Imagine, what does he do? He forgave. But not only he forgave, he remembered his brother, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Because I will say to you what my brother said. Why? Because the Quran is the first port of call. And what did Yusuf alayhi salam say to his brothers who did the same to him? And look how interesting. 40 years, they gave him grief. Right? Because don't kill him, throw him down a well. Right? Get rid of him. And to go through all, went to jail for 8 years. Imagine the pain the brothers caused him. What did he say to them? No reproach on you this day. You are forgiven. Right? So the Prophet said the same words. And that's why the brothers did tawbah. Right? Why? Then they realized why he was chosen. This is why the scholars, the brothers didn't know. Because why is he favored above us? We're older than him. You only realize that when you got brothers. Imagine you got an older brother and the second youngest gets prophethood. Right? Think about it. You know, just put it into your own little lives if you got brothers. I'm the oldest brother, right? And then you look, you're probably scanning him. What's special about him? But then what happened? They had to go through that, all that. And then when they saw him forgive, they go, this is why. This is why he was chosen. And they prostrated, the Quran says, including the father. Out of gratitude that Allah has given them a prophet amongst them. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So note, and also, what did our beloved messenger say? In Bayhaqi, in Shu'ab al-Iman, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he asked, oh Lord, who's the most beloved to you? Or the most honorable? So Allah the Almighty and Glorious said, the one who has the power to retaliate, to avenge, but he forgives. Now look how interesting. Allah Ta'ala didn't say, you're my messenger. Why? Because that doesn't benefit us. Allah Ta'ala mentioned a trait, so we can benefit. He goes, the one, think about this. You're in a situation, you've been wronged. No point playing that tape again and again. Oh, I've got every right to take my haq. Yeah, mashallah, but isn't there a better course? What's the better course? And imagine you take it. I can take his life, but this, that, I've forgiven him. Instead of person pining you on bike, what they're going to start saying, oh, don't show weakness. Right? That has a profound impact, not only upon the one you forgive. Imagine, somebody's killed one of your family members, and you forgave him. You telling me that's not going to enter his black heart. I killed his son. He's forgiven me. Right? There you go. Imagine non-Muslim. You'd be in jail cell like that thinking, I've got a study of Islam. I don't know what's going on here. Right? And he, the promise is, he's the most honorable in my sight. Who showed that? Rasulullah, on the day of Makkah Foley, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Yusuf alayhi salatu wa sallam. So note again here, when the Sahaba freed, their black hearts opened up. This has to be the truth, you know, subhanAllah. So all I mentioned today was basically the fall of Khaybar. I'll mention a few of the details. There's quite a lot of details, but a string of fortresses fell one by one. During the fall of these fortresses, a very famous incident happened. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Bakr Siddiq, take the command and try to take that fortress. So Abu Bakr Siddiq tried, he wasn't successful, radiyallahu anhu. Imam Ahmad's Muslim Sahih Hadith. Then when he came back, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tomorrow I will give the standard, the flag to a man who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger love him. Then the report says, Umar, he said, I never wanted command, but I thought, it's got to be me, I've got to get that flag. And then the next day, Umar goes, I was actually, you know, putting my head up because he was a tall man. And then all of a sudden, Rasulullah said, where's Abu Hassan? Where's Ali? So the people said, Ya Rasulullah, he's ill. He's got, you know, something wrong with his eyes. Because go and bring him. So they brought Sayyidina Ali. And the Prophet had got some of his blessed saliva in Bukhari and Muslim. Put it over his eyes. He's cured. Then he said, oh Ali, take the flag. And then he made a dua for him. He goes, he will be given victory by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then he said to him, Hazrat Ali said, what shall I do, Ya Rasulullah? He goes, invite them to Islam first. For one of them to embrace Islam at your hands, this is more priceless to you than red camels. This is the whole point. And then, alhamdulillah, he did amazing things. There's a report which has weakness in Tabarani. So what was his plan? So obviously, if you look at the fortress, it's on a mountain, you're thinking, I'm not going to do this. This is what Hazrat Ali did, radiyallahu anhu. Walked straight over to the huge fortress gate, smashed it, picked it up, threw it. And they were looking and they went straight in, obviously. And then later, one of the companions said, we, 7 of us tried to lift that gate, we couldn't do it. Another report was 40 of us tried to lift it. So this is a report which has some weakness in it. But why should we find that strange? Rasulullah made dua. It's not Ali, it's Rasulullah's dua. He will be given victory. So, and then the report mentions that there was a duel between Marhab. Marhab was one of the, you know, the undefeated warriors, veterans, you know, battle, you know, hard warriors. And he goes, ooh, we'll come out. So then Hazrat Ali goes, yes, come on then, right? And then Marhab does some poetry. Don't know what he said, right? And Hazrat Ali then said some poetry back. And one of the lines he said was, I am basically the lion of Allah. I am Murtaza. That's one of his titles, Murtaza. And then the report goes, you're expecting a huge, you know, titanic battle now between the two. The report goes, Hazrat Ali struck him on the head, went straight through his helmet, through his skull, down his cheek, dropped dead. Right? That's all the details we got. What happened to the next minute? Drawbridge blows up again, and back to siege formation. Right? So all these amazing things were taking place. Now another point. There's a report mentioning Umar. And this is fabricated. After Abu Bakr Siddiq wasn't successful, the report mentions that Umar then took the flag. And he couldn't, you know, subdue the fortress. And then the report goes, when they came back, Umar started blaming the men. He goes, oh, they didn't know what. And the men blamed him. He goes, what sort of an Amir is this? Then the Prophet gave the flag to Ali. That's fabricated. There's a waffle in the chair. Right? So they look into history, they think, yeah. So obviously, was it a failing of Abu Bakr Siddiq? No. He tried his best. What do you want him to do? Was it an honor for Sayyidina Ali? Yes. But because of Rasulullah's dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the proof of it was that miraculous incident. Thirdly, was Umar at fault? No, because you just made a fairy story about it. Astaghfirullah. So all of this was taking place at Khaybar. I think about that, you know, all these beautiful incidents. But the reason I haven't gone into that is because I'm focusing on Sayyidina Safiya, radiyallahu anha. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اتوب اللهم من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر من سنة في خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصلوا الحق وواصلوا الصبر صدق الله العظيم